So in today's readings, we have that what seems to be a familiar theme in year B, which is waiting. And it seems like we were just talking about waiting back in Advent, right? But here we are again talking about waiting. And I think I probably asked this before, but I'll see if anybody's changed their hands. Changed their minds. Let me see a show of hands. Who likes to wait for stuff? Nobody? Nobody likes to wait? That's not surprising, of course. We're not a culture, we're not a society that likes to wait for anything, right? We devise technologies so that we don't have to wait at all. And it's pretty brilliant the way that we do this, right? Like we have all these systems for not having to wait. You can order online, you can come and, you know, just show up and have whatever your food or whatever you're buying, you can have it ready for you. You can have it brought out to your car. You don't even have to wait in line. If you need to get some kind of service done and there's a line, you don't have to sit on the phone, right? You can just have them give you a call back, right? You don't have to sit there and wait. You go to Disneyland, you can get the fast pass. You don't have to wait in line for that. So there's a lot of things that we do to make it so that we don't have to wait. And yet, for whatever reason, we still end up doing a lot of waiting, right? So we've come up with these great systems for doing this, but you know, go to In-N-Out Burger any time of the day and you're going to be in a line that like stretches all the way down the block. Maybe it's just that some things are worth waiting for, right? Now waiting, you know, even though we didn't raise our hands and say that we love to wait, it can be okay at times, right? Sometimes it's good to have delayed gratification, right? It's good to hold on to things and let them age well. You know, a bottle of fine wine, you know, it just gets better over time. Other times, waiting can be a really painful, miserable experience, right? Like if you're waiting for some test results, that's not a fun experience, right? And yet we have that theme again today of waiting. We see it twice in our readings from the Hebrew scriptures, both in the reading from Isaiah and then also from that psalm that we chanted together, Psalm 147. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. What does it mean? What does it mean to wait on God? The Hebrew word there is interesting because it's not a word that means wait in the same way that I think we understand waiting. The word is kava. And the word itself gives this sense of lying in wait, kind of anticipation. It's not just sitting around twiddling your thumbs, checking your phone. It's waiting with purpose. The word itself actually comes from a word used to describe a rope that is tied together. Like there's a tension there, strands that are bound together and held together in sort of this tension. They're waiting. And that's a lot different than our kind of concept of waiting, where we're just in this waiting place where nothing is really happening. This is an idea of being bound together, anticipating and being ready for something to happen. And notice that it's something that happens together. There's the tension is held not just as one person, but as a whole community of people. We hear that in the psalm, right? We talked about God gathering the exiles together to wait. And of course, these both of our readings from the Hebrew scriptures today have these beautiful images of creation, these beautiful images of God being in control of nature and all the mighty things in nature that point to God. I don't think these are in here to give us a sense of just sitting back and letting God do the work, right? Just sit back, wait, meditate, get kind of blissful, you know, that's, you know, kind of the Southern California way of doing things. Just chill out on the beach, watch the waves, and God's got this. I mean, you know, it's not a bad thing to put things in God's hand, but I don't think that that's what our scripture writers are getting at today. I think that this idea of waiting on God and looking at creation is a way of inviting us to actually be co-creators with God. Now, what do I mean by that? Co-creators. It means that we don't do things just on our own initiative, but we wait for God to move through us, because that's the way God actually works. That's the way God does things. God does things through us. I have this wonderful, wonderful spiritual director that I see about once a month. And the last time we talked, just a couple of weeks ago, and she asked, you always ask me these really compelling questions that I have to chew on for about a month. And one of the things she asked me was, what do you feel like God is praying through you? And I thought, that's quite a question. You know, God wants to do things through us. We think about how we pray and how we approach God, but what is God doing through us? So how do we do that? What do we do with that? Again, going back to our psalm, I think there's a connection in there that we see between that work of co-creating with God and worship. There's the call in the psalm to praise, to sing praises to God, to recognize the things that God is doing and sing out. And that makes a lot of sense to us, I think, as Episcopalians. You know, everything that we do revolves around our liturgy. This is the place where we come to be energized and empowered for the work that God gives us. Of course, we're also action-oriented people. I know in this congregation and many others, we like to go do stuff. We like to get stuff done. We like to see the love of God actualized out in the world in concrete ways of serving people. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think what the psalm is reminding us is that our ministry and our worship are not two separate things, right? We don't just come here and worship and it has nothing to do with what we're doing out in the world, but they're intimately connected. Our worship opens our hearts so that we can receive that love, that power from God. And by doing that, that means when we do go out to do those actions in the world, that we're not doing it just out of our own effort, that we're not just self-seeking, that we're not just trying to love just to make ourselves feel good or to make ourselves look good. And then, of course, we have the example today of Jesus in Mark's gospel. And although the word waiting isn't in there, I think we have in Jesus a model of what it means to wait on God, that kind of active waiting where we're listening and receiving and then going out. This story comes right after Jesus's baptism and right after he's gone out into the desert and been tempted by Satan, which we'll skip back to that in a couple of weeks when we start Lent. But in Mark's gospel, everything is immediate in Mark's gospel. Mark uses the word eustis, which means immediately. It just keeps happening. Mark says it's the gospel of action, right? And so he immediately is baptized and immediately goes out into the desert and then immediately comes back to get started with his ministry. And what does he do? The very first thing he does is he heals a sick person. And then he starts casting out demons. You know, he's right to business. Jesus doesn't mess around. He's not easing into this whole savior of the world thing. And the word gets out pretty quickly. And I can imagine for him, that's probably pretty overwhelming, honestly. You know, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, but also he was fully human. And so to have that expectation on him, I'm sure was very overwhelming. And so notice in our reading today what Jesus does. After he does all of this healing work, he's got the whole town beaten down the door. He steps away. He takes some time to wait. The reading says that early in the morning, when it was still dark, he goes out to a deserted place. He goes and seeks God. He steps away and takes some time to wait, to connect, to pray, to worship. But he doesn't just stay there doing that, right? No, he's not the guru on the mountain. He does that in order to come back and do what he's called to do. He even tells his disciples, "This is what I came out to do. Let's go do more of this." I wonder if Jesus could have had the energy and the power to do that, had he not taken that time to wait on God, to listen, to connect. Jesus doesn't take a sabbatical, right? But he takes time and rest, just these moments of connection with God woven into his daily life. And that gives him the empowerment that he needs to go out and do that work that he's called to do. I think what that means for us is that we also, I mean, if Jesus needs it, we probably need it too, right? A rhythm of life. A rhythm where our worship and our prayer is balanced by our action, the things that we do in the world. I think we need this on a personal level, and we need it on a communal level. We need to make sure as a church that we have a rhythm, that we're not just about what happens here on Sundays, and we're not just about what happens out in the world, that they feed into each other, that they flow in and through each other. So my question for us as a community, as we're at this beginning of the year where we're thinking about what we're going to do this year, is what do we want our rhythm of life to be here at Holy Cross this year in 2024? We know that we want to grow. We know that we want to grow in both depth and in breadth. So we need to decide how we're going to do that. How we're going to learn to do that. By learning how to wait and listen and worship and take action. And remember that idea of the rope, the strands of the rope that are held together, that hold that tension together. That's what we do as a community. We hold that tension together, and we're ready to be used by God, for God to pray through us. Jesus heals people by taking them by the hand. He heals them and invites them to become healers. And I think we're being called to do the same thing. So let's take the time to wait, to listen, and to ask, Lord, where are you calling us to be healers in this community? And then let's step out and do it, because this is what we came out to do. And I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.